Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Ben Watson, an amazing, you know, I've seen his interviews. I haven't met him personally, but I would like to have you. Ben, we need you on VFN TV. As a matter of fact, you know, I'll come to New Orleans to interview you because it's the wisdom that you have. But all these racial tensions and, you know, all these things that are taking place in America right now, and it seems like everybody that's supposed to be helping us get through this is actually hindering any kind of
unity
at all.
That's happening, isn't it?
You know, Dr. King says, you know, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. Anytime, you know, someone wants to get you caught up in on some sort of issue or some sort of cause, you know, make sure you go back to the Word of God and say, what cause did Jesus stand up for? What signs did he carry? What marches was he in? And Dr. King set an example. He was in a love march. He was in a constitutional, biblically sound march that says everybody's human beings.
That's,
you know,
right.
We need to love and treat everybody equally. But all these tensions have been going on since Ferguson, and just, you know, and there's things happening that's really happening too, that it's like, is God giving us over because we won't deal with this thing? I don't know. But listen to Ben Watson with the New Orleans Saints. He'll bless your heart. Got some great wisdom. Just watch now.
Football is historically a game of opposition and struggle, a snapshot of life, often reflecting the larger culture, and with it, issues of racism.
The amazing thing about a football team is we can disagree and fight like brothers, but then we come back together. We are able to be open and honest about things that may offend us, a great opportunity to get past what somebody looks like. And then we leave there and kind of go back into the real world and have to deal with these different issues.
Benjamin Watson and his New Orleans Saints lost in a Monday night game in November of 2014. He then went home and watched the aftermath of a grand jury's decision to acquit the white police officer who fatally shot a black teen. Violence ensued.
You just have a hard time grasping, what do I really feel? Where do I fit in that? So something this big that has such buildup and is so intense and so loaded, historically, there's so many layers of emotion. White people think one thing and black people think the other thing about the same event. And we automatically, before we really know what happened, kind of pick our sides.
The following day, the 11-year NFL veteran conveyed his feelings through a Facebook post that went viral. Applauded for standing transparent and objective, Benjamin was in demand for new shows and articles.
What are they most responding to?
Honestly, I had teammates, black, white, coaches, people of all walks of life say, you know what, that's how I felt, but I just couldn't put it into words.
12 words that continue to resonate loudly. For Benjamin, 3 that feel most deeply.
I was angry. As a black American, there is a history of injustice from my grandfather and my father and my great-grandfather towards blacks in this country. You see something happen like this, you automatically bring back the history and in many cases the presence, and you see things through that lens. So as a black man, I carry that. But secondly, after the anger, I had some introspection. Am I any better than the white people I point the finger at if I'm coming into this with preconceived notions about what happened when I don't really know what happened? Is that right of me to do? Is that what God would have me to do? Well, you're no better than anybody else who's prejudiced if you're holding those same feelings towards someone else. And I think that this event kind of brought that out. Lastly, I would say I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged because the gospel gives us hope. Christ changes who we are on the inside and transforms our heart so that we can love other people that don't look like us. And I'm encouraged because I see progress in this country racially. And it's foolish for us to say that there's been no progress. 150 years, whatever, since slavery ended, a lot of those feelings are still fresh. But we've made tremendous progress.
While making a career inside NFL sidelines like these, Ben also showed strength and finesse in his 12-paragraph post, building to a bold bottom line, a game changer, calling out racial divide as something more than skin deep.
The skin is a very small part of who we are. Under a microscope, your skin is the same, it's just the amount of melanin. Racism is simply a symptom of sin. And sin is the foundation. Sin is something that we're all born with. So I have the propensity to be racist, to be prejudiced, to hate other people. I have a propensity to do all those things. So I think the response was so great because I'm saying that, look, I need the blood of Christ too.
How do you think hatred is broken?
Hatred is broken by love. And love is an action. Reaching out to people of other races, even if it's not comfortable. And it's also through forgiveness. And there's a lot of freedom in that. Unforgiveness really holds you, really punishes the one who's not forgiving. As a black man, I can't grow. As a black community, we can't grow until we're able to forgive. Now, it doesn't mean that what the other people did was right, but it doesn't mean you can't forgive.
What do you think is most misunderstood about our black community?
That we are not all the same. And I feel like sometimes we are painted with a large brush, and it's usually negative. We don't want to be suspected of doing something wrong. As a black man, I feel like you are constantly trying to prove that you are not what you think people expect you are. And that's a tough burden to carry.
A burden Ben and his wife Kirsten want to ease for their four young children as they grow up.
Like if you talk to any black person, they're going to have an experience of when they found out that they were black. Because you don't know for a little while, you know, you're just living, you're a kid. And then it's the separation. We teach them the importance of caring for and loving people individually. And that their worth as a person is in who God sees them at, not in how somebody else views them. So they understand their true identity so that when that time comes, and it will come, when they understand that they're a minority and what all that stuff means, they'll be able to weather the storm.
Benjamin, the husband, dad, minister's son, and NFL teammate, believes the church has an opportunity and responsibility.
We need to reconcile in the church because we're the ones that should understand it. We're the ones that have been saved by grace. We're the ones that understand what it means to love unconditionally. We're the ones who understand forgiveness, that people were created in God's image. And we're the ones that are supposed to demonstrate that to the world.
In his book entitled Under Our Skin, the tight end writes with hope toward acceptance and redemptive restoration.
I know who I am because of him. I'm sinful and I needed a savior, but nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We should reach across racial lines, that we see people, see their soul and not just their flesh. But Jesus teaches that I will transform your heart. Where is your heart? Can you forgive because your heart has been changed?
Excellent job. I encourage you, if you haven't yet gone to civilchristianity.org, we have a 10 commitment pledge that's the same pledge, basically, just a little updated, that Dr. King had people sign that wanted to walk together for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And you can find it and sign it. And we're not going to share your information with others, but we want to be able to get with like-minded people who are like Ben Watson to understand that we all need the blood. And that no matter where you are in life, understand that the enemy's going to make you feel less than. And then he'll feed into it with a dark culture. Even the Samaritan woman, you know, that she was rejected because of who she was. Mm-hmm. And since she had to fight all that, those things going on. But the thing that really, I mean, it doesn't shock me anymore, but I was watching the refugees come out of Libya and they were coming into Europe. Mm. And it's tragic what ISIS was doing and all these things are happening. They're trying to get to a place. And they were interviewing, John, the Africans that were coming.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a camera on one man. And this is not an African-American. This is an African man, a beautiful family and all that. And the statement he said just broke my heart because he said, we're people too.
Wow.
And I'm thinking like, of course you are. Who told? I mean, ISIS was just, you know, racist and all that religious jargon and the hatred. No matter where you are in this earth, there's sinful people.
Hmm.
And, you know, enemy can get you to latch it into this or latch it into that. But the truth is, you know, outside of God, everybody feels less than.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only in Christ do we begin to get healed and begin to feel, you know, accepted by God. And society will really never, a lost society will really never accept you. They'll accept you if it benefits them somehow.
That's right.
But it just broke my heart. I'm thinking like, of course you're important. But I'm thinking that coming out of being forced as a refugee, losing your home and everything, possibly losing family members to death, escaping, And of all the things they could have said, instead of saying, help me, I see you as a human being, he said, we're people too. Mm. I'm people too. And I'm like, of course you are. Now, the church, we need to let everybody know they're created in the image and the likeness of God, that God loves them. God's got a plan for the life. We should be the most beautiful, diverse bouquet of God's creation that you've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Together. And but yet, at 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. it's reported that it's the most segregated hour at all. But I think a lot has to do with this now. Our culture is feeding into it because people are pretty much isolated from people.
In general.
You know,
right.
In general. I had a neighbor asked me for something, right? I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the neighborly thing. I'm going to go to the particular neighbor's house and give him this particular thing that Pat worked with me to give this thing.
Right.
And I'm knocking on the door. I'm knocking on the door and...
Just put it in the mailbox?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, nobody's used to talking.
Yeah.
They're used to communicating through text or email or on the fly. And part of getting past prejudice is getting to know me.
Mm.
It's like Sidney Poitier did years ago in a movie, you know, guess who's coming home for dinner?
Right.
And when you start eating together and spending time together, so you got two things. This culture today is like everybody's isolated, period. I mean, if you're all the same family, family members are isolated from each other. It's like, I don't have time. I'm in my own little zone or whatever. You have coworkers that are isolated. You have church members who supposedly gather together, but they don't know anything about each other. They don't eat together. You know, the VFN family, we seek to eat together. And obviously, John and I eat together. But it's so important. Jesus ate together. They called Jesus a glutton because he actually... They accused him of eating too much.
Often, right?
Yeah, and they called him a drunker because they thought he drank too much. And they called him a sinner because he hung with sinners. And they called him Satan. I mean, it's just like, are we going to want the approval of the culture or do we want the approval of God? And God is into people. And so the one way you begin to get past wrong mindsets is to start spending time with the thing that you think is a certain way. For example, if you have a fear of flying, they just say fly.
Hmm.
That's the only, you know, you go to some therapist or whatever, you know, and, you know, John spent all that money.
No, I'm broke.
No, he didn't. And with that, they just eventually tell you fly. And you just got to begin to get out and meet people and understand too, just because they say, I don't have time for you, it doesn't mean they hate you because they're a racist. They're just probably narcissistic, selfish, and focused on their own lives.
Hello.
And it's not that they don't care about your race. They don't care about you at all, right?
That's right.
That's the reason why they said.
Absolutely.
They don't even care about me.
No.
I'm like.
Big thing is exercising courage. You know, courage is not the absence of fear. It's moving in spite of it. And we just got to get out of those closets that even the world has created a system that's allowed us to, like you said, be compartmentalized and not reach across the aisle, reach across the street, reach across the desk. And it's time to do that. And I find that when one person breaks that barrier,
right.
It's like a domino effect. It begins to encourage others to do the same. So maybe that's you. Maybe you're that person that needs to step out first in your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, and watch what happens. It's going to be something beautiful.
Okay, bring some Spanish rice. I'll eat some of your Spanish rice.
You eat a lot of Spanish rice.
I don't eat no Spanish rice.
When I've taken you out,
that's true. You showed me that picture.
Yes.
I can't believe you got a picture of that.
In fact, we do have a picture of him. Maybe
let's
we can
move
make
on.
That available.
We have an offer available. Wow. We're going to go right here. We've got an offer for you. And the Lord said, eat whatever's put in front of you.
And you did well.
You got to
quit. You obeyed the scriptures, I tell you.
You start working out, and all you're hearing about is weight.
Okay.
You know, the last thing, if you look at history, and we have several programs on this, but if you look at history, we have some great also messages in the partners area on this as well. You know, all that's available to everybody who partners. But the history of America was people who claimed to be Christians were showing up, and they even had a scene of this in Woodlawn, and they would put a cross in someone's yard, and they would catch it on fire, and they would dance around in white sheets, calling themselves Christians, burning the emblem of God's love in front of their house, saying, you know, God doesn't love you. You know, like, and think about it, they're burning the cross. And so we have to disassociate ourselves from that. You got to first acknowledge that reality that happened. And it's not too long ago, you know, when you see this young man portrayed in Woodlawn, and you see his younger brother in 1973 who gets a brick thrown through his window that tells his brother to quit playing for the Woodlawn High School football team because he's African-American. Mm. That boy, that his little brother that saw that brick come through the window, then he looked outside and saw his brother's jersey burning over a cross saying, get him to quit playing football. That's who's actually 47 years old today that's handling your Social Security office. That's actually who your teacher is that's in their late 40s. That's who the police officer is. This is not long-fetched. Yeah. This is, like, very recent. And so that's seared in a lot of people's memory of that reality. Now, that's the culture. Now, God tells us as the church not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, to this culture. As the church, we can say, you know, God is love. If you don't love your brother, you're a liar if you say you know God.
That's right.
And so you can say, if somebody's hating and burning crosses.
That's an obvious.
And dancing around in sheets, you know, that ain't Jesus. But that was betrayed as him. So we have to say that's it was wrong, and it's a sin, and it needs to be, you know, dealt with in the context of that. But also you're looking at any particular person that begins to proclaim another Jesus. Paul said, if anybody preaches you to another Jesus, you know, that you know, confront it, you know, talk about it. Not necessarily try to change the world, but let the people of God know and the people that are being drawn to the Lord, like, that ain't Jesus. That's another Jesus. And they'll even come, he said, even as, you know, servants of righteousness, that they will, you know.
Angels of light.
And so good works and doing good things does not necessarily mean that that's God empowered.
Yeah.
And the big thing you asked, the same thing Jesus asked, was, who do they say I am?
Mm-hmm.
And
who is Jesus to you?
Right. And so imagine here, you know, life's dramatic enough when you're growing up, but you're proud of your brother. He's playing football, and all of a sudden a brick goes through the window when you're playing with your little cars and stuff innocently, and you're just shocked all of a sudden, and it says, I hate you, quit, do whatever. And then you look out the window, and you watch your brother's jersey, who you're so proud of, being burned, and you watch these white guys get in their cars, grown adults, and take off.
Mm.
You know, and the trauma that family had felt, where these are the people today that are in their late 40s. These are the people that are in their early 50s. This is not 10,000 years ago. This is moments ago. And that's why you're seeing, I believe, that the church has to rise up and begin to deal with these issues. T.D. Jakes says he believes that the world's trying to resolve something that only the church can resolve.
Mm.
And so we have to get involved in that. And the King Center, they're talking about it as well. But you can go to civilchristianity.org, sign that 10 commitment pledge, and say, you know what? I want to walk the way Dr. King walked. I want to be one that walks rightly before the Lord, constitutionally sound, biblically correct. I want God to use me in this day. Go to civilchristianity.org. I want to pray for you. And remember, please pray for us.
Yes.
We need your prayers. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for those that have gone before us. God, I thank you for those that have made this movie, Father God. Woodlawn, Lord, that you would encourage them. Father God, I pray for this coach, Lord, that's up here in this high school that's got suspended because he prayed. We thank you for Ben Watson, God. We pray that we would give platforms to these men and these women who are standing up in love, Lord God, and shining the light. God, I pray right now for each of our audience members, Lord God, that they would be light in the midst of this darkness, that they would understand that uniting, you're all about bringing us together in you, Lord. Father God, that the racial divisions in the church would be divided, in our comfort zones and our self-focus, Lord, help us to get out of our comfort zones and begin to relate and commit to a relationship with other people, Father God, that you would be pleased of, Father God. We ask for this, Father God, in Jesus' name. And God, we ask you to end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, in Jesus' name. Thanks for joining us.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.